Venture Along this Friday night, and hope you have a nice weekend coming up ahead. Talking with Harry Cooper about his latest journey as Shark Hunters covers the globe in search of the past, the present, and maybe even the future. Now, here is one of the best pictures I've ever seen. It's a wrench set. Now, that's not silverware. It's a wrench set.
Boy, I'll tell you, Dante, the guy whose mother I talked to, Dante, took us out to the garage to show us his vintage BMW, and that is the original tool set that's recessed up inside the trunk lid. The car is immaculate.
How interesting.
Yeah, but he won't drive it anymore because, like I say, people drive in Buenos Aires. This is, if you ever wondered what happened to the kamikaze pilots who didn't get killed in the war, they're driving in Buenos Aires.
You know, what's interesting to me is I would, if I went to buy a new car and they had that and they showed it to me, I think I'd probably not buy it. I mean, that's kind of, well, you might have a problem or two. Yeah.
It's required. You got to have a tool set in your car. You got
That's amazing.
Emergency stuff.
Yeah. What year was this? Where's the picture of the BMW? We don't have it?
I had it, but I didn't send it along. No, wait a minute. I didn't take the picture of the car because it's in a garage that's really, really shoehorn tight.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. So that's what's under the trunk, top of the trunk, lid, in a BMW.
In that particular BMW, I guess. That's a sedan, not a sports car.
And that's macaroni and cheese in the upper left, and I see where the salad went in the bottom right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, it looks kind of like the metal trays we had when I was in boot camp.
Yeah. Well, interesting. I never would have figured that out. All right.
Yep.
Now, next picture. We have a moocher trying to grab onto a woman down there.
I think they know each other. This
probably.
Is on the Calle Florida, which is right outside my hotel. It's a walking mall, and they've got all the high buck stores, Dooney and Burke, Michael Kors, down there. It's really high buck.
These look like dancers to me. It must
they
be.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're making a few extra bucks. You see the guy with his red
hat
over there? He's filming it all.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got it.
So, yeah, roll to the next one.
Yeah. Well,
they're attracted to me.
It's pheromones, Harry.
Is that what it is?
Pheromones.
Okay. I thought it was the white hair there.
No, it's not white. You
one thing I got to say, the guy standing behind me, what a total jackass. It was from Denmark or Norway.
The guy against the window back there by the shoes?
Well, I spoke excellent English and kept trying to tell me how to put my arm around the girl and everything. I told him, shut up.
Really?
She told him, shut up.
Well, she's got presence, as they say. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're out there putting on a dance in front of this particular store.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the evening, that whole walking mall comes alive. About every 10 feet, there's something new. There's guys doing caricatures. There's guys doing portraits.
Uh-huh.
There's people selling stuff. Then, of course, there's the indigent women with their children, begging money for their child, but they're multilingual. They can beg in many languages.
Mm-hmm. Nice. It looks like and this is in Buenos Aires?
That's correct, yeah.
All right.
Right down, right around the corner from my hotel on Calle. In any other country, Spanish-speaking country in the world is Calle, but in Argentina, it's pronounced cache. I don't know why.
Well, I just wonder, the guy with the red notebook, I wonder how many walls he's walked into doing that.
That's a good question.
All right, very good. Now, the next, I've been wanting to show people this. This is Harry's Corvette.
Yeah, just dream on.
Isn't that? Oh, no.
That's 1961. Or 61 Ford Falcon.
A four-door Falcon.
Right.
And that is really rare.
Not down there. They got zillions of these things all over the place. You know, if you ever wonder what happened to your old Falcon, well, of course, they were making them in Brazil, I think. But there are thousands of these things. But the reason I took this picture is because it's green. The Falcon Verde, the green falcon, was one of the most feared things anybody could see pull up in front of their house back like 40 or so years ago.
Oh, disappeared.
That was the secret police. They used the green falcons. Huh. And a lot of people who criticized the government were shoveled into the back of one of the
green falcons. Never to be seen again.
Never seen again.
They killed tens of thousands of people. This is unbelievable, but true.
Yeah, and then they did the same thing in Chile when Pinochet was overthrowing Allende. You know, the days of the dictator was in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and even into the 70s, I think. But you know, and when I was there last year in February of 16, we went past the remains of the old secret police prison out in the middle of nowhere, so if anybody escaped, they could be rounded up again real quick.
Well, so, pretty grim. Humanity somehow lost its humanity along the way.
That's parked right in front of my hotel.
Very nice. Now, this falcon, and you say there are thousands of them everywhere, falcons.
They're everywhere. Some of them are all beat to shit. Some are in perfect shape, like they just rolled out of the showroom.
Well, it's like Cuba. They do that with, I saw a little travel thing, and they have American 50s cars.
Oh, God,
yes. Tens of thousands of them, and many of them are immaculate.
It's a national, to keep them in good shape.
Yeah, it's a national treasure.
Break, then they got nothing.
Yeah, I saw a 58 Oldsmobile in one picture, red.
Oh, boy.
Just amazing cars.
Yeah, the 58 Oldsmobile and Buick were the two biggest, most heavily chromed up cars made, because I was a teenager back in them days.
Yeah. I remember seeing a few of the, I guess it was the Olds 88, 58, Olds 88. And people back then, you know, the rich kids, I guess, could buy them, and they'd be lowered in the front, raised in the back a little bit. And
That was toward the end of the 50s, early 60s. That was the big deal, drop the nose.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it was drop the rear.
Yeah.
You can't say Olds 88, because 88 is a bad thing to say, because 88 is the... Eight is the eighth letter of the alphabet is H.
Oh.
So 88 means HH or Heil Hitler if you're in Germany.
Oh, and your brain will rot. Don't say that again.
That's right.
I've got to be careful.
There was a line of clothing, I think it's called Forever 21. They were making T-shirts that had 88 stamped all over them, so they had to pull them.
Well,
thought 88 with the HH, I thought that stood for Happy Harry.
I would
think so,
too.
But apparently not. It's also the number on the side of Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s car. So I guess the Spitliggers are going to say he's a Nazi.
Well, the 88 was one of the best guns of the war, too. Great gun.
Oh, God, yeah. More Allied airplanes were taken down by the German 88 anti-aircraft gun than by the Luftwaffe.
You know, I have a recording of Beethoven's Fifth Piano Concerto. I'd forgotten the pianist, made in 1944 in Berlin.
Oh, boy.
And the concert house was full of people. The Germans were so damn brave, they would go out, even though there were air raids going on at times, and they would go to their events. And this is recorded during the war. And at one point, in the very quiet part of the second movement of the piano concerto, you can hear clearly 88s going off outside. Boom, 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 boom. And nobody moved. And he just kept playing.
No.
It's an amazing recording.
Yeah. Hey, incidentally, more of your listeners are sending emails to sharkhunters@earthlink.net asking for the magazine. So
please
be going
do.
Out tomorrow.
Yeah. You'll love it. It's just great. And it's an organization that you can be proud of for many different reasons. And we have fun here once a month, and Harry's going back. I know a little bit about what he's got on the back burner, and there's some amazing things there.
Yeah,
if you can go on the tour this fall to Germany, you should go.
Right.
He's going to, apparently you're going to get in to see that train, right? You're
yes,
going to try.
Yes. No, not try. We've been assured.
I haven't seen any pictures of that, nothing. When was this discovered? Not long ago, right?
I don't know. I just heard about it from my contact over there in Austria.
Well, you would have known if it had been found years ago, that's for
sure.
Well,
that's true.
And you told me also that there are 48 German locomotives, apparently, pulling trains, which vanished at the war's end. They may be in tunnels as well.
I thought it was 70. There were a bunch of locomotives that did disappear. I don't know where they went.
Well, they were pulling stuff, and there's a lot of stuff missing. And there are a lot of mountains there. And
who knows? Maybe the Russians took them because the Russians weren't able to build stuff quite as quickly as the Germans did. Who knows? We have to...
Well, I think there are lots of trains buried in mountains there.
All of them pulling trains full of gold and silver and diamonds and at least...
Well, I hope so.
Hitler's body on board.
Well, that's true. Now, did I send you the pictures of that, the Eva Braun photo album that was found allegedly by a Soviet soldier in the bunker in Berlin. He pried open the locked drawer, one of them in her bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And there was her personal photo album was in there with a swastika on the cover. And I sent you that, right? You saw those pictures of the...
That's correct, yeah.
The Berghof.
That was before I left for South America.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, the pictures of the... she took all those pictures. It was her album. The pictures of the Berghof. It's just amazing to see that.
Well, she made several films, too.
Yeah. A lot of 8mm.
Yeah, we have two of them that we have converted to DVD, and we offer them for sale. So, incidentally, you know, you mentioned... Things with swastikas popping up. Things with swastikas are all over the damn place down there in South America. As you know, when I was there last year, my guide, Martin, he has a knack of finding people everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at an outdoor restaurant, and some old man came by, and Martin buttonholed him. He had taken a photo of the Graf Spee as it was blowing up. And he wrote
on the
back of it, and I've got that photo sitting right here in front of me.
Yeah.
Out in the boonies there in Uruguay, he found this gas station mechanic who had a bunch of Third Reich postage stamps, and he says, oh, let me introduce you to a friend of mine whose grandfather was in the Luftwaffe, and I went and we talked to him, and it turned out his grandfather was Reimer Horton, for God's sake, one of the Horton brothers designed and built... The jet-powered flying wing bomber for the Luftwaffe. So
the HO-229, which actually flew, and they were getting ready to go into production, they ran out of time again.
They not only flew there, they flew in South America.
Yeah,
we got a photo of one of them flying over the rainforest. And I've got a video of some of the cargo flying wings that they designed for the Argentine Air Force. Videos of them flying ugly damn airplanes. They looked like a Winnebago, an ancient Winnebago motorhome hung underneath a gigantic boomerang. But they worked.
Well,
because the Horton
brothers
went down
were there.
So many hundreds of aircraft engineers went down there, including Professor Tank, who designed the Focke-Wulf W190, they all went down there and were designing airplanes for the South American Air Forces.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Next picture is
a
very ornate tall doorway.
Yep, that is the Navy Club, the Argentine Navy Club. And even an old fart like me with a weak arm, I could throw a rock from my... hotel front door to this, because the hotel I stay in is an annex of the Navy Club.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the next picture you see, not everybody has reservations.
Yeah, that's I guess not.
That's the downside of Buenos Aires. The homeless situation is getting worse and worse. I don't know what they need to do to fix it, but they're starting.
Well, I need to make places for these people and obviously put them in a secure place with basic services.
Yeah, I have no idea how it works down there, but there's more and more of them in mm-hmm. the High Buck mm-hmm. area, like mm-hmm. on Calle Florida.
Yeah, they're begging, I guess. Plaza Hotel. What do we yep. got there?
Plaza Hotel. And unfortunately, I didn't kill off a lot of extraneous shots. This is where Martin Bormann lived for at least 2 years after the end of the war, 1945, 6, and 7. We can scroll down and see all the different shots of the plaza, which is, it was probably back in the 40s, it was the be-all, end-all hotel in all of South America. It's still incredibly plush. And as you know, when I went there last year, I looked up the manager, Senora Rodriguez, and I told her who I was, what I was researching. And I said my research indicates that Martin Bormann lived here for a couple of years after the war was over with two young ladies. And he says, and without batting an eye, she says, oh, yes, in room 740, the presidential suite. Then she said, but we didn't know anything about the young ladies. I said, oh, okay, how come you don't put that in your brochure? And she says, that's not kind of advertising we need here.
No.
Someday, if I win the lottery, I'll stay a couple of days in the presidential suite there, but I think it's about $1,000 a night. U.S. dollars. They only charge U.S. dollars there, not Argentine mm-hmm. pesos. Mm-hmm. It's yeah. Upscale to the max. Beautiful right. place. It's about three blocks from the hotel I stay at, right across the street from Plaza San Martin.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll have James pull out one of these near duplicate pictures. We'll remove that.
Okay, whatever.
Plaza Hotel, and then we go down another interior shot of the hotel, looking probably very much like it did in the 40s.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Then you get down to Plaza Libertador, mm-hmm. General San Martin. That's exactly right across the street, right across the boulevard from the Plaza Hotel.
Hmm.
Is a magnificent park with an incredible statue of San Martin there. It goes about three stories in the air. It's huge. And we just scroll down. I'm showing you, you know, what a beautiful park it is.
Mm-hmm.
Buenos Aires is loaded with parks.
Mm-hmm. Look at the roots on that tree.
We get to that banyan tree. Mm-hmm. One, two, I think three pictures of the banyan tree. It's way older than our country. They don't even know how old that tree is, but it's hundreds of years old.
Uh-huh.
They've had to prop up the limb for it don't break off. Then, of course, Gomera de Plaza San Martin. Well, we forget, skip past that. Next one, the white facade, that's still the Plaza Hotel. And unfortunately, we go to the next one, we find some guy sleeping on cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
That's right on Calle Florida. At least he took off his shoes. You notice that?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. That. You'd think while he was sound asleep, some other homeless guy would come along and snatch his kicks.
I would think that they do.
But apparently.
Go through these and let us know which ones we should delete.
Whatever you guys think.
Okay, we can take the homeless pictures out. I don't think we need those.
Yeah, and the next one is a lady with her child, homeless.
Yeah. Well, so they've got a problem. They've got a problem. They've got to deal with it somehow.
Yeah. Now we get to a very, very plush restaurant. And in the next picture, there's my friend Eduardo and his wife Elsa. Eduardo is retired, I think, Corvette and Captain from the Argentine Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And within the next couple of days, he's going to be a retired doctor also and be an honest-to-God retiree. He's the guy way back in, I think around 1995, 96, something like that, there was a big fuss that they found a sunken, what they thought was a Soviet submarine laying on the bottom. And
off the coast or in one of the bays?
Yeah, in the Caleta de los Loros. And so I called called down there and I talked to some admiral, and he said, then they said it was a German submarine from the war, a German U-boat. And I said, well, give me the information. Oh, no, senor. It is top secret. I said, there's not a damn thing top secret about a German Type 7 U-boat. They were old hat in 1943. Oh, no, Senor Cooper. Top secret. And then finally, after a week or so, me bugging this admiral, I called and asked him again. And he says, what U-boat, Senor Cooper? We know nothing of any such U-boat. So the door was shut pretty much. But then about 1990, that was about 1990 that happened. Then about 1995, I got a call from this fella, Eduardo, all the way from Buenos Aires. Are you the Harry Cooper that's interested in the submarines? Yes, sir, I am. And he says, don't give up. That U-boat does exist. And we've got pictures of from the air of what looks like something sunk under the water. Everybody knows where it is, more or less, and it's in shallow water, 40 feet of water, but they can't find the damn thing. One of our members was there, whose name shall remain anonymous. He went there. He had an expedition there about 4 years, 5 years ago, something like that. He had the Argentine Navy helping him. He had high buck operation and everything, and they cruised over the spot, and he said they looked over the side. They could see the boat on the bottom. They turned around to come back to get divers down. They couldn't find the boat. I don't know. He thinks it's haunted. Some kind of magical plasmoidal something or another on the boat, which I think
no.
he's been drinking too much of that Argentine champagne, but
so the idea in 40 feet of water.
At extremely low tide, it's about 40 feet, and the conning tower is breaking the surface, according to locals.
Well, I think they ought to. Shouldn't they try and salvage that boat?
Well, I don't know about salvage it, but at least go look at it and find out.
Yeah.
How it sunk, which would be obviously they opened the sea valves. And then get down inside the boat and get some serial numbers, because the Germans, as you know, were fanatical records keeper.
Yeah.
And if you can tell them what the hull number of the boat was, they can tell you what the U number of the boat was.
Right.
They can tell you everything about it.
Well, it may not be a war grave. It might have been scuttled, so that's what
I'm
saying.
Well, that's it. We believe that's the one that brought Don Angel and Martin Borman down to Puerto Coig on the very, very south part of Patagonia. Because when they dropped off Don Angel, Alcazar de Velasco, and Martin Borman, they said they were going to take the boat about halfway from there up to Buenos Aires and then scuttle it and come ashore. And this is about halfway between Puerto Coig and Buenos Aires. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's by a little dinkwater town, even smaller than the town I live in, if that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no scuba support of any kind there. So if you're going to go out there, you're going to have to bring your own inflatable boats. You're going to have to bring your compressors, your tanks.
Well, they're going to have to locate the boat before anybody will go see it. They got to locate
it. Because nobody's going to go stumbling around looking for it.
No.
Unless somebody says, yeah, here it is. But now we're finding out it's probably not the only one down in Argentina.
There could be half a dozen down there.
Yeah.
Or more.
And I remember clearly back in 1960, the Argentine Navy discovered one submarine in Golfo Nuevo, which is a very small gulf, maybe 30 miles across. The entrance is only about, I think, 5 miles wide, and it's no more than 300 feet deep. They thought it was a Soviet boat. Then suddenly there were two of them in there, and they still couldn't get it. I was in the Air Force at the time, Special Weapons, and we're all chuckling, you know, oh, those dummies down there, of course they can't catch it. Their Navy is nothing. Well, then the U.S. Navy sent down some of their best anti-submarine people with some of the most modern equipment and the new 600-pound depth charges. They couldn't get it. So we're, you know, inter service, we're laughing at the Navy. Then they got visual on these boats, and they took pictures of them. The pictures, the photos are locked up in the archives in Argentina, but somebody sketched it, and it was a Type 21 German U-boat. Now, don't send out the guys with the rubber room to get me, but...
So it's supposed to be still there. When you say they couldn't get it, what do you mean?
Well, they couldn't sink them. They finally saw them sailing off out into the sea and disappeared.
Oh, and this is during the war?
No, this is 1960.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that.
That's a little bit of a Twilight Zone thing, isn't it?
Well, maybe not, because we're finding out that maybe, we're not positive, but maybe there were some U-boat construction sites there. We don't know.
Oh, no, that's very interesting.
Yep.
That is fascinating.
Yep. So that's why I want to get down there again. Argentina is no problem to get in and out. You don't even need a visa.
Uh-huh.
And we have good sources down there. Unfortunately, expensive sources.
Right.
Martin, he's sharp. He knows where everything is down there practically, or he can find it. In addition to all his expenses, we got to pay him $105 Yankee per day.
I remember this guy. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Can't we get hold of the damn boat skipper that took you out to the mansion?
Well, I finally figured out what his name was, and we're going to start trying to look for him, because his father was actually the caretaker of Inalco, the place where Hitler lived for 10 years after the war. And the guy's name was, I forgot his first name, but his last name was von Alvensleben. And so when I...
Well,
when I get back there again, I'm going to look for...
That is, to me, that is, that's kind of Holy Grail territory. You can get that guy to tell his story. That's
Yeah, yeah,
that's
because he grew up on the estate, and he said he knew who lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
He put his right arm in the air and his left little finger under his nose like a mustache. And then he went goose-stepping off down toward the beach. So there's no question that's where Hitler lived.
Right.
Now we look at the next question, or the next photo. Contrary to popular opinion, that is not Fat Heidi with the air let out. That's the entryway to a TV film studio down there. And that was another thing I did while I was there. I sat for a two-hour interview with a contractor for National Geographic South America to talk about the submarines, the German U-boats that were in Argentine waters at the end of the war.
Were they videotaping this?
Yeah, it's supposed to go on the air August or September, I think.
They'll have plenty to edit from, and that'll be a good piece. Good.
Right. They said they'll send me the finished product when it's done.
Nice.
And then we have Layla.
Now, you have Layla.
Yeah. Nice little armful. She was one of the producers of that TV show. She's the one that picked me up at my hotel, and she was apologizing because there was mud splattered on the outside of her car. I told her I didn't care. Just get me there alive and in one piece. And holy cow. If I'd have been Catholic, I'd have been praying a rosary the whole way.
She really did. She went the same way, huh?
God, yes. Just wild.
Huh.
And as you know, I used to spend Sunday afternoons at 190 miles an hour on the super speedways.
Yeah.
But we stayed in a straight line, for God's sake. These people are all over the place. They don't blow the horn or nothing. They just zip all over. And when we were at the restaurant, me and Eduardo and his wife, we hailed a cab to go back to my hotel. And a cab tried to sneak between a parked car and a moving car. Here, kabong! He hit the moving car. They each looked at each other, and nobody stopped. They just came over and picked us up, and away we went.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Incredible. So this is that's in the studio where the interview took place?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And then, unfortunately, Layla had to go back to the office, and so I was there with Sebastian.
A likely story.
She was a good driver. Cute little thing.
Now, did she have a green Falcon?
No, she had a little white, what the hell was it? Some kind of a Jap car.
All right.
So I told her I needed a brown paper bag to put over my head. I didn't want anybody seeing me in a Japanese car. Well, because the way the Japanese military treated our prisoners during the war, using them for bayonet practice, and we don't
biological practice, horrible things.
Oh yeah,
horrible.
Oh, way worse than the Germans supposedly.
Oh,
did.
Absolutely, no. Yep.
They used to call the prisoners logs.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Now, oh, geez, there's more people sending emails to sharkhunters@earthlink.net. Good. You guys will get the magazine tomorrow.
Now, all of you who are listening in can go to the site at sharkhunters.com, .net, and...
sharkhunters.com.
You can go to... Anytime you want, you can go take these trips. Pull up a trip, take the photos up, pull them up, and have fun. It's such a resource. It's amazing. It really is amazing. All right, yeah. we got firefighters here. What's going on with this?
Yeah, this was, see the smoke coming out of the mall there?
Yeah.
That's on this high book section. Somehow somebody set something on fire in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see how excited the firemen are. They're just standing around and some little dolly's talking on her cell phone. Nobody's rushing. In the next picture, the police are there. I don't know why, but... they're there, and there's the same girl in the white outfit that was on her cell phone.
Then, yeah, it looks like a woman firefighter on the right in that first picture.
Let's see.
Like a female.
That could be.
All right.
Don't recall.
Polizia, okay.
Yeah, polizia. Polizia. Polizia, what, Dad? See, this is, Buenos Aires is like Washington, D.C., it's not a state, it's not a city, but it is a city, it is a state, so you got, they were Ciudad, that's the city police, they got metropolitan police, they got federal police, and sometimes they're all standing within a few feet of each other there in Calle Florida. Now then the next one, you got four firemen just standing around, mugging it for the camera, and then the one that says Edificio Thompson, that's the Thompson building. The smoke has finally stopped. That's the same girl. Huh. Maybe she's the one that set the fire. I don't know. And then the fire truck says Federal Police of Argentina. Why the fire truck would be Federal Police, I don't know, but it is. Then I'm having lunch with a very important
fellow. How unusual. Harry Cooper eating.
Well, everybody has lunch. Every day we try to have lunch. Now, this is Dr. Mariscotti, Mario, and he is the former director of the Nuclear Energy Agency of Argentina.
Now, that's amazing. People are saying, what are you talking about?
Oh, God, they were way up there. 1947, 2 years after the war, German scientists built a nuclear research facility on an island in a big lake down there in
Bariloche.
Yeah, in Bariloche, at the foothills of the Andes. And, of course, now Dr. Mariscotti, he says that the guy, Dr. Richter, who ran it, was nothing but a fraud and a charlatan and just was sucking up money from Juan Perón left and right. Millions, hundreds of millions of pesos, and never did anything down there.
What did Mariscotti allegedly do down there?
Well, he was head of, he was not there during the German years, but later on,
I see.
He was in charge of the whole country's nuclear projects. They have nuclear power down there now. But according to some reports, Dr. Richter achieved cold fusion. The only time anybody's ever achieved cold fusion, if it happened. There are many schools of thought. either it did not happen and he lied, or it did happen and Borman came down on him so hard because Perón made a big whoop-de-doo about how Argentina is now a nuclear power.
Mm-hmm.
So Mariscotti says, no, he was just a fraud and sucking up a lot of money. So I don't know. We may know. He wrote a book about the island, but strict history, nothing beyond strict history. And
could be a cover-up there.
Say again?
Could be a cover-up there.
Oh, yeah, there's no question in my mind. He's a nice man. When I was there last year, I went to his home for dinner. And he brought me down. He has things to show me in the basement. Basements are pretty rare in Buenos Aires anyhow because it's right on the tidal area. The water table is only a few feet down. But mm-hmm. he had all sorts of stuff down there with the radioactive hazard, black and yellow circles.
Yeah.
He had nuclear material all over his basement. I said, what the hell are you doing with this? Oh, he said, I do experiments from time to time. I said, oh, well, that's good. Let's hope you don't wind up glowing in the dark.
That's funny.
So I proofread his book for him. It was in English, but I wanted to make sure it read smoothly, mm-hmm. not, you know, like, throw me down the stairs, each by each, my shoes. Throw Mama from the train, a kiss. So he's a nice guy, and we had a nice meal there and just talked about the nuclear stuff. And when I need to go back to that island, I got the red carpet.
That's great. You know, I was wondering, in Bariloche, maybe there's still some survivors from the war there, probably are. But
There
was a tremendous community of Germans down there. Have you ever been able to crack into that community and have those people sit down and really talk to you about what it was like?
No, I wouldn't say that because Erich Priebke was there. He was a Hauptsturmführer, SS captain,
uh-huh.
and he lived down there until Sam Donaldson, the guy with the fiberglass haircut, outed him. But his son still lives there, and I'm in contact with his son. As a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, I had dinner with his son. I had mm-hmm. 10 people with me,
mm-hmm.
and two of them were hardcore Third Reich-type Germans,
mm-hmm.
and one was my guide, Noel, and me, and Priebke's son was at the head of the table. He was carrying on a conversation in German with the two Germans, in Argentine Spanish with Noel, and with perfect English with me, all at the same time.
Yeah.
And he blurted out at one point, nice and loud in this restaurant, if it weren't for the Nazis, this town wouldn't exist. Okay, thank you.
That's funny.
So, let's see. The next two pictures are just a storm building. This was shot out the window of my hotel. A storm brewing over Buenos Aires.
Mm-hmm.
Then click over page 2, and the bright red sky, that was the next morning. Nothing was on fire, just the way it looked with the sun coming up.
That's pretty amazing.
Amazing, I guess.
Yeah.
We're almost wrapped up here. Then the beautiful white building there on the next two pictures, that's right on the shore of the Rio de la Plata.
Uh-huh.
It used to be the Fisherman's Club. Now it's just an open restaurant. And then we see the other airport, the Aeroparque. In my ill-fated trip to Brazil, which brought me back here,
uh-huh.
then we roll down. This is a really interesting place. You roll down to that red gabled roof where it says ABC.
Hold on, I'm still at the airport. We don't need two pictures of the airport either.
Well,
ABC.
See it?
Yeah.
ABC restaurant.
Uh-huh.
This has been there for a zillion years. This was one of the favorite places for Eichmann to have lunch and Mengele and sometimes even Borman. And as you scroll down, I took pictures of all the different, the next one you see the interior, And up there on the upper wall, they've got coats of arms. And then there's a picture of a castle. And their bar with Warsteiner beer. That's a popular beer down there, a German beer, Warsteiner.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go into the all the different coats of arms on the wall. Argentina, Hamburg, Deutschland, Bremen, Thuringen, Hessen. These are all on the walls of a restaurant in Buenos Aires.
That's funny.
Tri-state of Saxony. So we'll scroll on through them. Anybody can go back and look at them. They, I checked their ratings, and as far as nicety and all that, scored very high for ambiance, very high. As far as cleanliness, no.
No?
I watched. Some people got up from a table and left. The waiter picked up their bread plate, took a napkin, wiped off the crumbs, and put it on another table.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't see any mice running around, at least.
Nope, nope, nope. Never saw any bugs, never saw any mice.
I told you this story, didn't I? I went to a Chinese restaurant, and it was in L.A. in Chinatown.
Yeah.
And we were sitting, and it was kind of darkish in there, and I kept things in the corner of my eye. I kept thinking I was seeing something, so I turned and fixed my gaze on the floor, about 10 feet away, and damned if there weren't the biggest, fattest mice running around you've ever seen. And the waiter, I called the waiter over and said, he's a Chinese fellow, and I said, old man, I said, you know, you got mice in here. And he smiled, all his teeth came out, and he smiled, and he said, always one or two.
Yeah. And you have to wonder what was in your chop suey. I know, what can I tell you?
All right.
We were there last year when I was there with Martine, and these two absolutely stunning, gorgeous Scottish girls walked over with a half a bottle of wine and said, hey, we can't finish this, and we're going on our way around town. You guys can have this bottle of wine. Thank you, and away they went.
Yeah?
Unfortunately, that's the end of the story.
Yeah,
that's the end of the story. I'm sorry.
All right. Yes, yes. Family radio. Now, back to the ABC restaurant.
Yeah.
There's a big painting of a German castle. What's that about?
Well, it's just German scenery in there.
Mm-hmm.
The whole place is German scenery, except not a damn soul in there speaks German.
Were these coats of arms supposedly there for a long time now?
I couldn't say. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But I know, like I say, it's a German restaurant.
Yeah.
I also, not this time, but previous, I went to the German Club, which is very, very upscale, up on the penthouse of one of the highest buildings there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not a damn soul spoke German. I'm trying to speak German to the girl, and she doesn't know what I'm saying.
Hmm.
She didn't speak English. She only spoke Spanish. I don't speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to ask Martine what was on the menu.
Before or after you paid him the $150?
He got his hundred and a half every day.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I went with him, every 2 days I gave him $300 to make sure that I didn't wake up and find my guide was gone if I paid him in advance. And then I realized, he was an honest man. So when I came back, when was it? Toward the end of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I met him with his girlfriend and their son, and he made sense. He says, why don't you give me all the money now? I'll give it to my girlfriend, fiance, wife, whatever you call them, when they're just living together, and she'll put it in the bank here.
They call it significant other. I don't know how that sounds in Spanish, but that's what it is.
I don't know either, but anyhow, he said she can put it in the bank here, and we're going into some rough areas. We don't want to take a chance on getting robbed. And as it turned out, it would have been nice if I'd had that money, because we got into some really outback places where, civilization hasn't gotten there yet. And my nice, shiny new debit cards with a chip in them,
uh-huh.
just wasn't working at all. So poor Martine had to keep paying for the hotels, for our lunches, for the gasoline, for everything, until finally I could get to a big city where they actually had a bank. And I could pay him back.
I'm sure he got every penny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
All up and up. Now, here we got one more picture here.
One more picture. That's one of my favorite pictures.
I can't imagine why. Look, now you look at, you got that John Wayne scarf on.
Yeah,
and they gave you
members,
a top hat.
Yeah, and a hat. And unfortunately, God only gave us two arms. Three arms would have been better. Well,
all right.
A couple of years ago, somebody here, you know, I'm with the Republican Executive Committee, and a couple of years ago, somebody was trying to cause me grief there, and they saw other pictures like this of me down in Argentina, and they sent out an anonymous letter with all sorts of nasty things about me, but also that Cooper was standing there with his arms around nearly naked women. And my comment was, I sure as hell ain't going to stand there with my arms around a nearly naked guy.
Contrary to what they say in England.
Mm-hmm. Boy, you're hung up on this England thing, aren't you? Maybe that's...
weird stuff going on there, I'll tell you.
Yeah, well, that underscores that this one particular guy. I'm gonna post more about him. He probably gets about 14 hits a month, and we get
maybe
14 million a year.
Right. Well, so, let him send a few more your way, whatever.
Yeah, that poor little flamer.
Yeah. Whatever.
So, anyhow, that's pretty much it from this standpoint, but...
when are you going back now? That's a great little tour. When are you going to go back?
Well, I'm going back by myself as fast as I can get the visas all set up.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to kick some ass with Martine to plan a tour for members to go on in
mm-hmm.
February.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, February down there, you're going to come back with a sunburn in a hurry. That's
mm-hmm.
height of summer. And... we'll be going down to the estate where Hitler and Eva Braun lived.
You run out on the boat again?
Oh, yeah. I'll try to find the same guy. And then if I find the same guy, I'll screw his feet to the floor.
Absolutely.
And start asking him a lot of questions. The estate...
If he won't talk, try and get him to talk on the boat. He might feel more comfortable.
Well, that's true. I don't think he'll have any hang-up about talking, because he wasn't
mm-hmm.
the guy in the Third Reich. It was his father.
Mm-hmm.
And he was real quick to go marching past me, goose-stepping
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
his right arm in the air. So,
mm-hmm.
But that place was up for sale for the longest time for $40 million Yankee dollars.
What's the latest?
Well, it got sold, or there was an agreement to buy for $23 million Yankee dollars.
An escrow.
Yeah, either escrow or an offer or
contract,
something like that.
Yeah, okay.
From a wealthy soybean farmer from Cordova province. He was going to build an upscale resort there. Now, whether that meant tear down the mansion
you can't
or
even
build
think
around
about
it.
Yeah.
But whatever, the Argentine government blocked it. So last I heard, it's still kind of in limbo. So... we would go there, and unlike those clowns with that hunting Hitler show, we are not going to have to sneak up on it like that guy dressed like a seal did. We just drove the boat up on the shore, got out, and walked up to the place.
I don't watch those programs. Do
no,
they go there? Do they get video?
I don't know. I don't watch that kind of goofy stuff. I work 12 to 14 hours a day. I don't have time to waste on crap like that.
No. Especially when they steal so much of your stuff.
Yeah, I know. My guy who translated Hitler in Argentina, that book, into German,
mm-hmm.
he watched it and he said it's easy to see where they got their source data.
Wow. Well, same old story. Nobody does it. It's all, the polite word for it is derivative research.
Is
in
that
other
what
words,
it is?
Theft.
Yeah. Plagiarizing.
That's
derivative
exactly what
research.
It is. Yeah.
Nice.
I just made that up, but that's what they say. Yeah, it's
more
derivative. Yeah, it's derivative.
More people emailed to sharkhunters@earthlink.net. Good.
Very good. All right. Well, I hope they enjoy it. They can't help but enjoy the magazine. That's very nice of you. All right, my friend, thank you. Talk to you next month, unless you're back on the road down there by then.
I probably will not be on the road. It'll take probably 3 months to get this visa situation all sorted out, because it just, you know, Brazil and the U.S. have had a visa war for four, five, six decades now. Each one is trying to outscrew up the other one.
Well, maybe if you went to
the middle, the poor slob like me trying to travel.
Do they have a consulate anywhere near you?
No, the closest one is either Miami or Atlanta. Either one is like 400 miles away. So probably go to the one in Miami, because that's where the Paraguayan is, and I'll get that renewed. And then, of course, I'll wind up on vacation in the Keys for a week while I wait for the Brazil consulate to get their stuff sorted out.
Well, I hope it works. Also, have a great drive in the Corvette when you get that back tomorrow.
Well, I'm getting it back tomorrow.
Very good.
And try not to run across any more cops, because I almost got a ticket about 6 months ago. Some idiot in a pickup truck thought he was going to race me away from a stoplight. Who with a pickup truck thinks they're going to race a Corvette?
Well, not too smart.
Unfortunately, I didn't see the cop with the radar. He pulled me over. He chewed me out. I was polite. He gave me a warning ticket and said, "Be careful, Mr. Cooper. This is a very fast car." So if I, it's a warning ticket, and after a year it goes away. But if I get stopped for anything else before that year, I get that ticket too.
All right. Well, I think the guy with the pickup truck was working with the cop revenue agents.
I don't know. He's, you know, this is hillbilly heaven, where most of the people drive pickup trucks, and most of them are old beat up pickup trucks, except for the old people who have the new $60,000 pickup trucks.
God, yeah, they do. They're out there. All right. Thank you. Great program as always. Enjoy. My best to the rest of the crew at Shark Hunters, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. You have a great day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye, Jeff.
Good night. All right, and we'll be right back with another hour for you.